'Twas the Night Shift Before Christmas, written and read by Adam Kay. To my parents. Not really to my parents, but they won't listen beyond that bit, and it's probably enough to get me back in the will. My publishers remain very keen that neither they nor I go to prison as a result of my books. To best achieve this, names, dates, personal information and clinical details have all been changed. In my last book, I substituted all real names for the names of minor Harry Potter characters. This is not something I will be doing again. This time they're all from Home Alone. Introduction. Christmas is this pine-scented, tinsel-strewn timeout where, like it or not, everything just stops. It's a temporary apocalypse where everyday norms are replaced with a fever dream of cheer and goodwill, and for an interminably long week, your daily grind goes out the window, replaced by weird, compulsory rituals. You're forced into playing board games with your family, those blood strangers you spend the rest of the year willfully avoiding. You eat food like it's a competitive sport, in which every kilo of meat or cheese gets you to the next level. And in order to cope with the steadily increasing strain of FaceTime with first-degree relatives, you don't so much flirt with alcoholism as fall into an S&M-heavy relationship with it. It's a bizarro version of real life, an alternative reality where jollity is mandatory and apparently achieved only through a combination of charades, acid reflux, anger management and couch sores. And all this is made possible because, thanks to the little baby Jesus, you no longer have to go to work. Well, most of you don't. The NHS front line sadly doesn't get invited to Christ's all-you-can-eat birthday shindig. For medical personnel the world over, Christmas is just another day. Coming but once a year, and thank fuck for that, the Yuletide brings more than its rightful share of hospital drama. Festive flus and pneumonia keep the respiratory teams busy, while norovirus and food poisoning are the season's special guest stars for the gastro doctors. Endocrinologists drag patients out of their mince pie-induced diabetic comas, and the orthopaedic wards heave with elderly patients who've gone full Jenga on the ice, shattering their hips like bags of biscuits. A&E departments are busier than turkey farms, thanks to black eyes from carelessly popped champagne corks, fleshy forearms seared by roasting tins, and children concussing themselves by hurtling down the stairs in the box their Skelextrix came in. Not to mention the fairy-light electrocutions, turkey bones trapped in tracheas, and finger amputations from careless parsnip chopping. Incidences of drunk driving go through the roof, often literally. And then, of course, there's the carnage when families reach breaking point, usually sometime between the Queen's speech and the late-night list shows. Under the influence of mistletoe and Christmas spirits, cream passionnel erupt like violent genies in living rooms across the country, and still sticky carving knives find their way into the nearest racist uncle. I spent most of my medical career in obstetrics and gynaecology. Labouring mothers don't really have the option of staying home for a couple of days to see if it'll settle down, and over in gynaecology, egged on by eggnog, there's a definite uptick in objects that have found themselves in orifices and are struggling with the return journey. And then there's the heart-wrenching stuff. The middle-class pastime of Christmas Eve granny dumping, bringing one's elderly or infirm relatives into hospital with some vague, fabricated medical complaint so the dumpers can dedicate the next few days to solid partying, unfettered by caring for their parents. Pushed to extremes by John Lewis adverts, Instagram exaggerators, and that terrible Paul McCartney song insisting that everyone else is simply having a wonderful Christmas time, many patients find this time of year too much to bear and need to make use of our cruelly underfunded mental health services. And while, of course, there is never a good time to lose a loved one, there is something all the more harrowing about grief during the festive period, oppressively surrounded by global joy. The annual winter health crisis rightly makes headlines every year, but over the festive period, the media, not wanting to piss in your Baileys, turns a blind eye, instead feeding us feel-good stories about a polar bear who's done a forward roll or some royal toddler trotting off to church in fur-trimmed couture. But just as putting your hands over your eyes won't make you invisible, the patients